Our team is here.
Yeah, they're very pleased.
Golly.
Well, the consistency was true.
Team. The whole squad.
Let's call the meeting to order. No, let's.
Before you call to order, can we get a copy of Representative Fillery's letter on why we delayed the confirmation hearings?
I don't know if we have a letter as to why we delayed it.
He said he.
I wrote a letter requesting to the committee chairman. If you want a copy of that, I'm sure.
Additional information.
Yeah.
That was not the reason of why I wanted.
Oh, I thought that's why we delayed.
No, there was another reason to delay.
I won't ask what the reason was. Proceed.
I apologize for those who are here with us today. We'll start all over again. We'll now call the meeting to order. Today is 3:23:83. The present time is 8:50. The meeting of House Labor and Commerce is now in session. Those members present are Representative Malone, Wincy, Kopanen, Ringstad, Cowdery, Buehling, and Chairman Furness. The legislation up for consideration today, in fact, we have two bills, and I'd like to take the first one, House Bill 181, and dispense of that right quick. It's an act relating to regulation of the practice of psychology and continuing the existence of the psychologists and psychological association examiners. And provided for an effective date. We've had considerable discussion over this particular piece of legislation. As a matter of review, it is the tail end of the sunset review. Last year came up with sunset, and for various and sundry reasons, it was not completed. As I recall, the governor got involved and put a veto on it or held it or whatever. The board, as I understand, will cease as of June 30th. 83, unless this action is taken. I believe this is all that's necessary. There is an amendment, and you may recall a small.
Did you pass that over?
So what's the amendment? There is an amendment to add page 3 and section 6. And it has to do with the definition of an approved program. All of the language is the same except the last line, and it states here, or its equivalent as determined by the board, and what we want to make allowances here as opposed to identifying the one organization, the American Sociological Association Education and Tradition Committee, as the only avenue of determining competency accreditation or whatever, to give the board some flexibility in looking at other criteria. Representative Malone?
Yes. Jim and I would move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There's a motion to move the amendment and with unanimous consent. Any objections? If not, the amendment will be added. Are there persons to be heard on this? Okay. Guys, do you have any additional comments?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Then I'd like to move House Bill 181 amended and ask unanimous consent. Can you get back to me?
The motion is moved to the next meeting of the which is final. The motion has amended. I'm not sure if I'm hammering it at this.
Mr. Chairman, I suggest Mr. Dunn's working to go reducing that.
I will not try to file them. The Massachusetts legislature is House Bill 274. It's an act relating to the regulation of public utilities and provides for an effective date. Margaret, are you, Margaret is here from Representative Bettisworth's office. Are you here to provide testimony? We'll take that testimony at this time.
Good afternoon, my name is Margaret King. I'm the representative of Bob Bettisworth. This is actually a bill that will continue the same system of regulation and deregulation operation of the cable television service. It's been in operation as such for the last 3 years, and the Public Utilities Commission actually finished the service, and we'd like to see the service continue as it has been. If this is not an accurate regulation, it will be put into effect as needed in the future. Thank you.
Thank you,
AT&T have the authority to provide for these exemptions? I mean, I was just wondering why the legislature has to
put some part of what you may want to do is pose that question to Mr. King and
Hunter. Thank you.
Let me show the committee just a second here. This is a piece of legislation, again, that Representative Bettisworth has introduced, and I know that the co-sponsor of the revenue minister. There is a small brief in the community. I don't want to have them be tested.
I'm quoting on that.
There's somewhat of a little background on the FCC action over the years, but the effect of it. AC 74 would make the economic regulation of the public utilities exempt from the Alaska Public Utilities Commission, a local municipality. To ensure protection of the consumer, there is a provision that if 25% of the subscribers feel that treatment is not satisfactory, they may petition and will be granted for regulation by the ACUC. Now, I note that we also have a letter from Sherman Guest, the chairman of the AT&T Commission. Mrs. Guest is also supporting the continued deregulation of this public utility. Let me at this time recognize Clark King.
Years that the term has been going forward, it has been successful.
the public choice making how you see no complaints versus increasing it. And the operators are actually decreased rates and added additional services. This would keep that deregulation going after July 1st date. Public Utilities Commission has indicated that they don't necessarily want us back to regulate. I'd be glad to answer. That's my question to the committee.
Just kind of recognize that with Malone and then that's going to make it.
No, sir, I don't really have any questions or comments, but
you want to tell us what you're trying
to do? Oh, well, I guess so. So I got to hear. I think that the deregulation is a good idea, but we've had this sort of limited deregulation going on, and I think, personally, it's time to go the whole shot and exempt the cable TV services from 4205. 010 through 721 completely, and drop out this language in here about 221 to 281. In other words, put them into a free market, no franchises, no certificates of public convenience and necessity. Put them out there. I think that the limited deregulation is working, and the sign that we should just go ahead and deregulate, have a free market in this area. And that's, I'm surprised that the bill doesn't do that, since everything seems to be pointing in the right direction. We ought to move on to deregulation for real, and not deregulation that gives people economic deregulation, but still a guaranteed, guaranteed service area. And I think that's what we're doing in the bill.
Probably in response to that, the letter by Mrs. Jessica at least that I've had a chance to talk to some of the other persons involved in this, and I think that's perhaps the inclination. However, as I understand it, there is some hesitation to go that route so soon. Public TV is rapidly expanding throughout Alaska, but I think they do, you know, not still want to have at least that window of control in there.
Mr. Chairman, I think we have, not that soon, we've had this seeing this parts of the regulation effect for a little while, and we just took that part out of the bill and left the 25% requirement in there, that 25% of the people sign a petition, the commission could make a determination as to whether there's really something terrible going on, all subject to review by the courts and so forth. I think there's consumer protection there. With that, I think we ought to deregulate them, and we won't have to worry about this anymore.
One more question, Mr. Wentz.
I guess we kind of got at the point. I was going to ask, because economic deregulation, I guess my question is, would you turn economic deregulation maybe we could? I hear all the wonders of private enterprise and deregulation, and now I'm seeing restricted deregulation.
Economic deregulation applies to rates of tax. By the feeling of the 1980 legislature was that the public choice mission would still certify an operator. That's it. The reason for that being that they were financially able to operate as a company like we were willing to operate in an area. They also control transfer of applications. So, they thought they wanted some control. They also act as the arbitrators between the operator and the utility and all attachments and the like. So they do still have a regulatory function. They just do not regulate the rate.
They're representing the operators. What would their position be on deregulation?
I can't speak for the operators.
Yeah, but
that's the point is, again, the deregulation is financial operation. If they want regulation, they're trying to get the benefit of existing operators.
To go to full deregulation, not in California.
federal commissioners under the FCC and the regulatory powers. And there is ongoing litigation. DWR's national, the federal government, has not taken off. There is no national policy at the present time. There is live litigation going on. The Boulder case is one case. There are questions that were just decided recently over the signals themselves and some of these super stations. Who has the franchise rights, the copyright laws, and all of these have not yet finally been determined. So to say deregulation totally across the board and let everyone in, then there still are some legal questions. I mean, you know, from the FCC, that there is not a set policy at the present time. They're moving towards that and getting out a few years ago, and Senator Stevens sent back a huge package of information on briefings on what was then Senate Bill 833 in the United States Congress, the FCC can go there from that. But as the Delta system continually goes going through the breakdown process, there are still gray areas to say whether or not we could go to that area, that if we totally deregulated, there would be a question as to then whether or not the FCC would have to step in and impose some sort of regulation. And so there are some other problems.
221 and 281 deal with the signal problems in the system?
Yes, in the public need and necessity and convenience aspect of making that determination, but he's saying this is a license consistent with the FCC guidelines. Clear down the authority from the grant from the federal government. So we may very well be stepping into an area and creating some problems prematurely.
I would say that for the committee, that a lot of these considerations have been made in drafting this particular bill. And talking to Virginia again, we just got the letter, and talking to the person out of the field, I'm sure they've always had adequate input into drafting of this and done so as to cover the problem. Representative Malone's comment that's good, but I'm not sure how to go that route. I'm sure some other people can tell. Do you support that cause?
Support that whole idea, yeah. Because there are gray matters out there to deal with. And the PUC does not have an umbrella.
Who could we have some of that information or some of the students that got available?
Yeah.
We'll clarify the question.
Justin, when did you ever make a comment?
No, I haven't had a chance to read it. So I haven't gotten my file. I think you're changing it this morning, but maybe you. They do have a position on Columbia.
No, not there. You look at it. Speak to the entire association.
Are there additional questions, Mr. King? Question, Copeland?
Well, thank you. This opens up questions on this question. Are there cases where there are two or more civil outfits from
there are similar systems in operation in Fairbanks. The cable system, and they also have an MDF outfit, which is broadcast driver. You are also getting competition at the moment from private owned businesses, satellite businesses, and of course the video reporter market.
I was going to say, my name is Roy Costello, and I operate for the company.
think you might have control over the position in the public government district, you know, in the country. And because of the story, you can't be right away because the state can put it off the house, request it in the meeting. So I discovered that the story from that lady, but the president did not come and did not do that.
I was just wondering how many different what's the effective demand? How in a, you know, how many different kinds? I realize, you know, theoretically you can extend it to the point that everybody has their one TV show that they watch, and, but that's not that's to the point of absurdity. But the point of what is the effective? What's the demand for more channels on the part of the viewers? You know, how large, wide a gamut do they run? Do you effectively get demand for some 5 or 6 channels, or a dozen, or 14, 15, or what?
Well, it's hard to say that this many channels is going to suit everybody, and it doesn't seem to be that way because of the cost if you've got 10 people in a community, if there are 10,000 that want to watch a particular program, it's not very cost effective, and there will always be somebody, if you say it's a channel for everybody, or 100 for everybody might be out there at times, but there's so much repetition. In Alaska, it varies from 6 channels to 54 now. It's generally dictated by the.
Well, I'm trying to get at is what, whether the consumers are satisfied with the variety they're offered, or whether you have, you know, some demand for additional types of shows, if you know, someone wants to watch boxing, you know, so, but, you know, is there a demand for greater competition, or does the present system satisfy the needs and demands of the consumers?
I believe that.
And of course, I'm asking not the consumer, but I think that it should be the one whom they would ask. But that's why I'm asking.
Now, if I answer that, I believe that, of course, there's only so much is available, and here in Juneau, with an expanded box, you can get the complaint is that the people are watching too much TV themselves because there's so much to watch. It's not that we specifically asked to bring in more than what we have on now. I suppose there's something out there that we don't know about, that they don't know about, they might know it in the future, but right now we have about everyone that's going around. And anything else would be generally a repetition of what is already, in some cases, a repetition.
They do mention here in Nome, where there is a community based channel, and I was wondering how that is one of the channels that's certified for that particular use. Is there a general policy for setting aside 1 to 6 channels for that kind of public use or for the schools or something?
Well, of course, the state has 1 or 2 channels, as 2 channels after the wind, and some areas it's only 1 or most of the time. If you learn a lot about how to do that, but where there is no state, that may not have been, you know, if they have a different channel, then you have to have a different channel, then you have to go to the state community, and if it's a similar different program, that we are allowed to carry off of that. In a lot of programs, maybe familiar with a bit more than that, I believe, with some of the current programs. There's always within these systems, to my knowledge, an available space for these programs that individuals or communities may have been desired to available to their families.
Additional questions for the witness? If not, thank you, sir, for your testimony this morning. I'd like to advise the committee, there is a zero fiscal note. However, there's an attachment that says, in essence, in the event HB 274 is not enacted, $122,500 will be required in FY4 to regulate the current exempted cable TV utility. So, does cost us money. Again, I'm sure that that's additional information.
Chairman, it doesn't seem like they're intending to come down very heavy on them. If they're only
if I can quote you, your opinion doesn't mean anything on this. Could we ask Margaret if the sponsor considered fully regulated versus the personal room.
Are you aware whether it's moving up?
I just.
I'm
just wondering if Representative Bezworth considered the full regulation versus partial.
I think Representative Bezworth was privy to the same kinds of concern, is that if there was not at least some oversight responsibility assumed by the state of Alaska, that the federal government would indeed come in with that kind of oversight. So the determination was to keep the bill as it is. It was drafted to meet those concerns. The chair at this time would accept a motion for the closing of the bill. Mr. Scott. I would also ask you to expand it to include a zero acknowledgement. You've heard the motion. Are there any objections?
Chairman.
Representative Malone?
No objection, but I have an amendment to offer the bill.
What's the amendment, sir?
The amendment would be to the main motion to, on lines 11 and 12 of the legislation, where it now reads, other than AS 4205-221 through 4205-281, to delete that language from the legislation and go to true economic deregulation.
Okay, we have an amendment on the floor. Let's send it either. I'd like to check this out a second. Let's go back and work it again. There is an amendment on the floor to delete lines 11 and 12, the reference to AS 05-221 through 281. The floor is open for discussion on that. Representative Malone, you want to explain what the intent of the amendment?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, in the on the original legislation, I sat on the committee where a lot of this was debated, that there were arguments made that probably be better served by going to deregulation. I think that the interim here that this bill is designed to continue is mainly been an experiment to see if it works, economic deregulation. And I agree that it does. I think, though, that what we have here is sort of a unique situation where people are guaranteed. In effect, they're guaranteed through the certificate a service area, a franchise area, by the state, but the state does not regulate rates. If this bill was passed after the state would not be regulating rates. And I think that there's a lot to be said for it. I think that the experiment has worked. I think that we ought to have a free market in the area of cable TV and cable services. And that the best thing to do now, this part of the experiment's work, is go to complete deregulation. And we could, I suppose, if people have fears about that, do the same thing that was done in the original legislation and put a sunset provision on that portion of the bill. And it's after a few years, it seems to turn out there were more problems than the thing that was anticipated, why then we come back under regulation those sections. But I think that we ought to go ahead with the experiment, expand it further, and see if a free market will work. And I suggest that a free market will always work.
If I just might respond, Representative Malone, with the state, it makes sense. The only problem I have at this point is telling it in this manner without the input from at least Commissioner Guest, who I do expect to be able to respond to this, or to have those persons in the business at least have some input into the amendment. And based on the thought and everything that I'm not going to be doing it. And it does make sense to just need to give it some input.
Yes, I think that we've heard testimony that says that from the industry that completely deregulation could be have a negative effect in with utilities and negotiating with the people. And I think that the Malone
I'm for deregulation, but myself, but in certain situations when I deal with the industry, probably knows more about the negative effects and the sponsor they would have deregulated it in the bill if it was their desire to stop it. I don't think that
I guess I share the family's concerns, but I guess I'd only point out these ones to just to go ahead and move it out. In terms of testimony we've had as a representative of the industry, states there is no position. I know that they're in the industry now. The other testimony we have is from one operator who is in place that I guess the question is, do you want competition or not? Given the option, maybe he doesn't. So I hesitate to present the way that what testimony we have so far is to repeat this amendment. I guess I'd like to see it adopt the amendment and then we want to hold it over and get additional testimony before we start to go out. Maybe that's the question. Certainly, in the discussion we have right now, we wouldn't see that people be
Yes,
yeah. Well, the just on the main point, I don't blame the industry for wanting to have deregulation of tariffs while they can hang on to the to the franchise on the customers. I mean, I can understand that. I don't blame people for taking that position. I think from the viewpoint of public policy that we ought to encourage steps in the direction of free market wherever we can. And I think that we've had experience here that shows that limited deregulation in fact works, and now it's time to go to take the next step. So that's the basic reason for the amendment. And there's various ways of handling something like that. Put a sunset on it, if it's going to require some minor changes in the way people do business, it might have delayed effectively. It wouldn't seem to me to make a whole lot of sensible public policy in any area if we were to set up a situation where we grant a franchise and not paying attention to the tax rate, except as an experiment, and that is what the bill would do without the amendment. And we would still have the so-called safety valve if there was some sort of very strange situation that 25% of the subscribers could petition the commission. Actually, I think if the amendment were adopted, we wouldn't need the 25% either. That would be one we rely entirely on the free market to protect the subscribers as well.
I recognize that regulation and market limitation does have a positive economic effect in maintaining level of services, the desired services. Sometimes in a totally deregulated industry that is vital to the health and safety of the community, you may have a situation where over-investments or capital investments by individuals may drive all of them out of business. We have that in the very early period in the 60s. And doesn't necessarily direct capital into volume necessary areas, because they're protecting a capital investment by allowing for a franchise that is sometimes necessary. However, it's difficult to argue that cable TV, home box office, or others is necessary for the hospital to be
And certainly seems to have partial deregulation, doesn't seem to have worked poorly. I do see there's a possible trade-off. We have the Nome situation and others that in a totally deregulated area, you'd have open competition and you'd have different pulls between subscribers because of different kinds of services perhaps offered. The cable channels do try to offer a variety now, but Nome is the only one where you have a certain number of specified channels set aside for the community. I should think that if you have a partially regulated industry where economically deregulated, the trade-off there might be to offer four or five channels for the school, the state, whatever, for their use, and whether if they don't use it, tough, you know, those are blank channels then, but at least it would be open for community use. The only other alternative to that would be where you have a totally deregulated system and where such services might be offered by one group or another as a as an incentive to for that. So that I don't see that there is currently any danger of economic danger to overcapitalization if we were to open it totally deregulated. If that does come up again, then of course the industry will be here asking for deregulation. So I think that we might try the competition route first before trying to say that, well, you can have a closed franchise if you give us this. That becomes a little too much of an argument.
The amendment before us, the amendment has an effect. The amendment is to delete AS 4205 through 221 through 4205 through 81. That, in effect, deregulates this facility. I'll take the vote on the amendment. All in favor of the amendment, signify by a show of hands. Three. All opposed to the amendment by a show of hands. The amendment shall fail. The main motion is before us at this time. The motion is to pass House Bill 274 to the next committee of referral with a 0 fiscal note. Discussion on the main motion.
Discussion on the motion. I assume from your earlier comments that you intend to hold us over on all the rest of your colleagues and the defendant request
to take the additional just to move the bill.
I guess at that point, I guess I'd note there is no other committee referral. Without taking any further consideration or questions that are brought up. Obviously, I guess I would vote to stand up until those are met.
There
will be further
discussion. Additional discussion on the main motion. All in favor of the main motion, please signify by raising your hand. All opposed, the motion does carry. Okay. Is there any additional matters to come before the committee at this time? If not, just one announcement. We will conclude the deliberations on House Bill 211 Monday. Between now and then, gentlemen, we will work to come to some resolution on that particular bill.
Last night on the interior delegation teleconference, one of the callers was a representative of the Fairbanks Land Surveyors Association. They apparently met and requested inclusion in 211.
That's
one
to think we'll sort of take that into consideration between now and then.
I just wanted to
bring that on the floor for resolution.
matters to come before the committee at this time. Not the meeting with the chair.